Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this podcast. I am so excited to bring with you the most delightful human, my friend and client, Elaine Wesley, who is going to tell you her story, which, spoiler alert, has ended with falling in love and wedding planning. So Elaine lives in the Bay Area. She is a brilliant woman with a brilliant career. And Elaine, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited. I love your story. It's one of my favorites. Why don't you, our listeners are listening from everywhere in the world. They're all ages, all colors from, wherever. Tell us who Elaine was and is. Kind of tell us what it was like being you, maybe a little bit about growing up, dating, and then that inflection point day where you might have been introduced to the certain name of a company and a certain date coaching firm.
Well, that was a lot. So you'll have to remind me as we kind of go through it, or help me prompt next when I talk about. But I grew up in Virginia in a single family home. My mom was a teacher, and it was me and my brother. And because she was a teacher, she really emphasized very strongly education and putting that first. And so growing up, the focal point had been on get your education. So after I graduated high school, went to college, then after college, went on to grad school. And that had just sort of been the focal point of I guess, my upbringing. Again, just really hammering and focus on education. So dating wasn't really something that we talked about growing up. And with my mother being a single parent, she put all of her time and energy into us or into work. So she was not dating. So I didn't really have a lot of examples to look at growing up or to see, a healthy male-female interaction. And with focus being on education, that's just where I spent all my energy. And then it was sort of like when I got into, let's say, my mid-20s, and I finished my master's program, it felt like my mom out of nowhere kind of switched her focus.
As one does.
And instead of being focused on get your education, get a good job, do these things, it sort of switched. And then my mom's focus became on like, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to do this? When am I going to have grandbabies and such? But, when you are in high school, part of being in high school is learning these fundamental dating best practices and these principles, right? And so because my focus had been on education, I felt like I never really had a really good opportunity or maybe enough learning moments to really kind of, by the time I got to my mid to late 20s, kind of, feel confident in that area and be able to, pick out the right type of person, right? And so I would say, I started to put an emphasis on dating and it was hard and I struggled because, again, basic principles I felt that I hadn't been, taught or didn't know. And so I kind of felt like maybe I was in my, early to like, late 20s and 30s trying to figure out things that maybe, people figure out when they're a teenager. And so I had this really good friend who was really trying to make a significant change in her life. And she started working with you. And we were driving somewhere, and her face was just like all lit up as she was telling me about it and the things that she had learned and how much it had improved her dating and, situation and just her overall general life and outlook towards things. And as she kept talking, I was like, wow, this feels like something life-changing that I want to be a part of. And that's when I reached out. And when I reached out, my life has not been the same ever since. So I would say that's my high-level story in a nutshell.
Now, take us back. Let's talk about baby Elaine in her 20s and early 30s. How was dating for you? Had you tried the apps? Like, did you just feel like, how were you choosing people? What were the dates like? Were there some crazy stories? Were there red flags? Like, how were you, like, what were you doing through this time?
Yeah, so was using the apps. You go out and you meet people, or friends with no people use that as well. But in my, like, let's say late 20s, I would go out to bars. I would go out to, concerts, and I'd meet people there. And it was interesting because I would say I wasn't really dating intentionally. So I would be relying predominantly on physical attraction.
For
And
sure.
I learned through working with you that physical attraction for women is something that grows over time, and it's not something that just, instantly sort of happens, right? There are features, obviously we have eyes, right? That, of people that we find attractive, right? But
Always.
really, really be attracted to someone, it's sort of that slow burn, right? And that's what I learned through working with you. And so I think during that time, I was relying 100% on that fast burn. So I would either, meet someone and we'd have really intense, relationship, and then it would quickly fizzle. Or I'd be on these apps where, you would meet people that may or may not actually have the right intentions that you were looking for in terms of a future mate, right? And it's so hard because it's so easy for people to say one thing and do another. And that's what I learned from you too. You pay attention to what people do, not necessarily what they say, right?
Yes, we want words and actions to match.
Correct. Yes. So it was, I remember going years sometimes where I'd just be like, oh, I'm done with dating. I'm just going to focus on this because it was just so challenging, or, it would just be kind of nuts.
And I
So.
think the messages that we get about dating, right, are also pretty negative from people. Like, it's so hard to meet people. The apps are horrible. And I think that that also is so damaging to people's mindsets.
Yeah, and it's hard too, depending on what city you're in. In San Francisco, men don't tend to meet you out in public. They prefer the apps. Whereas if you go to a city like New York City, just walking around, a guy will approach you. So even depending on where you're at, you have to factor that into, some of the dating challenges you might encounter.
Right. They call San Francisco Man Francisco affectionately, right? Because
Yeah.
it's one of the places where there's a lot of guys, because women always feel like there's no good men out there.
No, there's definitely a lot of guys here, but for whatever reason, they just won't typically approach you compared to other places, right? You have to. So online in San Francisco, I have found personally is really the only really surefire way to meet a guy, because if you go to a bar or a concert, you may or may not meet someone. You might meet someone, but they may not necessarily think about you in a dating situation, until they're back on the apps and they see you. And that has happened to me before, where someone has reached out on the apps because they saw me in real life, but felt more comfortable reaching out on that.
I want to jump off this point a little bit because I think it's such a good one that you raise. And for so many people, we have this fallacy of, this meet cute, and I only want to meet people out and about, and the apps suck, and everybody on the apps is degenerate or flaky or just looking for a hookup. But I think the truth of the matter is, a lot of the guys, I'm going to overgeneralize here, a lot of guys just don't feel like they can compete in group social situations. And they're like, I'm not the kind of guy that's just going to be able to walk up to a woman and say, hey, what are you drinking? Especially because women tend to go to events with other women. They go in groups. So most guys are like, to hell with that. My odds in a live event are not good. My odds on the app are just like every other guy's. If I put up six photos and 200 characters, at least I've got a chance to get a pitch and swing at the pitch. And so if you feel that this is like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. So many women now, even in their 30s, are like, oh, I hate the apps. I'm going to real life dating events and speed dating events and the this and the that. And they start to see, like, wow. I see the same five guys at these events over and over again, and it's always 80% women to 20% men because the men, as much as they don't like the apps either, it's where they feel like their chances are highest. So I hope this helps you no matter what city you're in. I'm not just talking about San Francisco, I'm talking about rural Idaho to rural Illinois, to San Francisco, to New York City. Everybody's on the dating apps, right? And if you need to fill in the interstitial spaces of your dating life by going to events to make yourself feel good or go volunteer so you feel good because you're helping somebody, do those things. But on the apps, realize this is why a lot of men prefer being on the dating apps. Even if they see you, Elaine, in person, they're going to reach out to you on Bumble, but they're not going to walk up to you at the bar because that equals rejection for them. What are we all afraid of? Walking up to somebody, somebody sees Elaine and goes, ooh, she's cute. What if she rejects me? Right? And sending a message on an app is far less damaging to our self-esteems. Men are no different than women. We all fear rejection and abandonment, and nobody wants to hear no, and it sucks no matter what.
No,
And
totally agree with you. That reminds me of something that happened to me. I don't know, maybe last week or the weekend before. I had a really good friend that asked me to be her wing woman, and I asked Ben, of course, if I could go, and he said yes, you can go. So I went, and while we were there, we sat at a table with, I think, four other gentlemen, and one gentleman was clearly very interested in my friend Jessica. And so once I kind of saw that they had hit it off, I kind of excused myself and moved on. While I was moving on, another guy that we were sitting at the table with came and approached me and goes, "Hey, I'm really into your friend Jessica, but it looks like she's really hit it off with this guy." And I had to say to her, "You should go and talk to her. You should go, and let her know that." And, I said, "I'll figure out a way to get her away," because I've been trying to encourage her too, similar to what you've been teaching me, over the years. Like, it's, you don't want to have, one, what is the saying?
you don't want to narrow down your funnel too fast.
Correct. And she had
Multiple
missed the
options.
event, and she had gone laser focused and narrowed down the funnel. So I was like, okay. So I kind of got her away from that guy, brought her somewhere else. And then I saw the guy and I was like, she's over there now. You need to go and talk to her. But he needed some encouragement. And then they eventually actually did end up exchanging numbers. But
Look at you, wing woman. I like it.
I'm trying over here to help her. But Yeah, but to your point, he clearly was afraid of rejection, right? And he would not have approached her if I had not given him the encouragement to.
Oh, good on you. That's awesome. But this is exactly what happens. People don't know how to date. And I want to come back to one other really great thing that you said. You said my mom was a teacher and valued education. And while other people were garnering all of these experiences, which taught them how to date, I wasn't. I was studying. Let me tell you something, Elaine, and everybody out there listening. Nobody's taught how to date. There's no dating school. Most of our parents, even if they have great relationships, they might say to you, you know what? Don't worry about boys or girls until you got your education, and then you'll figure it all out. And even if you have good role models, right? You have a great mom, right? We all need one good parent. Now, let's say you're listening to this and you had one good parent, maybe one parent, or you had two good parents, whatever it is. None of them are sitting us down to say, you need to have a dating funnel. Don't rely too much on chemistry. If somebody isn't that into you, bless and release them. So here's the thing. None of you listening to this, not Elaine and not me, I learned this system. I put it together when I was in college and after. My parents did not teach me this. Parents aren't sitting down. And so, what I would tell you is if dating has been elusive to you, it's not your fault. It's like if you don't know how to play golf, it's because you never learned how to play, right? Okay. So, if you don't know how to date, nobody taught you how to date. I promise you. Because not one person of the thousands of people I have helped and of the tens of thousands of people I have spoken to and with, nobody said, you know, I got an A in dating 101 and 102.
No, and then think about it. There's no class in college, even remotely, that talks about it. There's definitely no classes in high school, right?
There's no classes, period. And yet, you know my philosophy on this, Elaine. The person that you marry, it is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. It's 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. And we're never taught these things. And we just accidentally might meet someone, not pick a good person, end up in divorce, go try it again. So I just wanted to raise two points because I think you articulated so clearly what you felt, and I know this is how so many people feel. So I'm just here to say nobody learned how to do it. It wasn't just you. Thank God you were studious and you came out with degrees and an advanced degree. There's a lot of people that are dating a lot in high school and ain't doing much with it.
Yeah,
So,
that's for sure.
right, and not dating well. And I say this as a mother of a high schooler and a college kid. Their friends are not taught how to date. They all come from two-parent families, great parents. I'm friends with the parents. Nobody, these kids call me to talk about dating. Miss Gandhi, I have a question for you. My son's friends, they just walk into this pink office. They sit themselves down in that chair. They're like, Belle, I have a question for you. I'm like, of course you do. So if you don't know how to do this, and if your picker is broken, right? Help is out there. Enlist the help. Okay, so now flash forward, Elaine. We go back to your friend tells you she's working with us. You're like, great, I'm going to do this. Now, tell us a little bit about your dating journey with Smart Dating. What happened?
Well, I would say the one of the most important things, and I think you even said to me at the time, I will not start working with you until you do this, is the book Attached. Like learning your attachment style.
This book?
Oh my gosh. That I would definitely say to anybody that's actively dating right now and trying to date intentionally, you have to read that book. For me, it was really, really helpful because I have an anxious attachment type. And I learned that I am attractive to the avoidant type. So none of my previous relationships would ever work out because we were like oil and water. the more they pulled away because that was their type of attachment style, the more anxious I would become. And so my nervous system was always stressed out when I was dating folks because I was dating the wrong type of people. And then the book talks about the secure type of person and, made it very clear that they're out there. Not everybody's anxious, not everybody's an avoidant. There are, I think it was 50% of people out there are actually secure. And that is a type of man that I immediately started to look for. So if I even got a hint that someone was an avoider, I would just be like, okay, let's fail fast, Elaine, and move on. And that's basically one of the biggest takeaways to this day that I've taken away from your program is just kind of really learning what my attachment style is, what my needs are, and adjusting my picker so that I pick the right type of mate for me.
And again, you raise a great point. And I will say, people can go out, read the book Attached. It's amazing. What I will tell you is what is, I love the book Attached because it provides a good foundation, as you can hear, for our clients to at least have the language and some of the flags of each kind. But what I can tell you guys that are listening is attachment styles are plastic. They're meaning they mold and shape based on the person that we're with. So in one scenario, Elaine can play the anxious person. But now, with an anxious or even a secure person, you can play the avoidant person. So what people don't talk about, and this is where, my team is steeped in dating from an anecdotal standpoint, and we have all this data to look at, we behave differently with different people. And so you can take a test that says, and I've done this, we do these Love Lab group workshops called Fix Your Picker. And I will send out a questionnaire that will say, tell me what kind of attachment system you have. And most people will come back and say, I'm anxious with a touch of avoidant or mainly secure, but kind of, because it's a self-reported test. Now, when they go through our work and this workshop, they're like, oh my God, I'm avoidant. Oh my God. Right. And it's so funny because what we think we are versus how we behave can be chalk and cheese, but it all depends on the person you're with. So when Lindsay and Eileen and Kathy and me are walking our clients through this dating journey, we've seen a perfectly secure person behave very avoidantly. We're like, you're kind of behaving avoidant. Why? Right now, why are you trying to escape this or pull the plug? Right? People that are normally secure become anxious. So, this is, to your point, it's something really good to get an education in. And then it's even more important to have somebody who is going to walk the journey with you to make sure that you're not putting on another mask and playing another character. So you got to know who the character is that you're dating and what that's turning you into. And that's why this is such a complex thing that happens in the dating world and with relationships.
Yeah, that's definitely well said. I just think when it comes to me, historically, I definitely felt more anxious. But
100%.
right, as we kind of went through the process with you and Lindsay, and depending on who I was dating, I did kind of mold, huh?
You did. You
And I
did.
had
And
you
we
guys
all do.
a great support network to kind of help get me back on track when I was starting to shift or to recognize these patterns. I think another thing too during the journey that I think was really helpful advice and practice that you gave me was around, not letting everybody know that you're going on this journey and leaving the details be with you guys.
Yes.
So by
Yes.
having the details and sort of like the I don't want I guess I want to call it like the after date chit chat, our post-date analysis just be withheld within,
With
us,
us.
right? It cleared all the noise and the chatter and the bad information or the bad advice from out of my system. And I feel like as humans, that's what we do. We want to share information. We want to share learnings. We want to talk about things. And I think having you guys as a group that I could do that with was extremely helpful during the journey because I wasn't picking up information that might lead me astray.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it was, we could set the course right back. Like, Elaine, I think this person looks like he's avoidant. I think we're ready to bless and release. So let's just move on. Bless and release. And you were so awesome and so coachable. Now, tell us when this one special person, how did he end up in your inbox?
Well, you guys would always encourage me because, we talked about it's a numbers game when you're in the apps a little bit, right? So I think you were encouraging me to message people. And I had an upcoming trip to Croatia. And, in my fiance's, in his profile, he had mentioned that he had come back from a trip from Croatia. So I saw him and I thought, this looks like a nice guy. And I would love to learn some more tips or information about Croatia because I'm about to go on this amazing trip. And the more information I know, the better. And so that's how I reached out with, I mean, reached out to him. And he immediately responded back. And Ben is very helpful. If there's like one word I could use to describe Ben, it's helpful. So if you ask for information or you mention you're going somewhere and Ben's been there, he's also very big on traveling. He will just give you all the advice that you need. And I just really liked how he responded back, not as someone that was like trying to just like date me, but as someone who was just like, hey, I think it's really helpful for you to know all this information before you go.
Like
So,
a friend.
yeah. And I really appreciated that about him. And he's just always from the very beginning, he's just always been extremely helpful. And whether he knows it or not, it feels like he's just constantly figuring out ways to simplify my life. And I really appreciate that.
Now, we always say at Smart Dating Academy, love will come to you in an unexpected package. Now, if you think back, was Ben the package that you expected?
No, not at all.
Okay, tell our listeners a little bit about Ben. Tell them who you are and tell them who Ben is.
Let's see here. So, Bella, I remember very early on you had said, hey, you will find someone. He will not be what you expected at all. You will find him cute in his own way. And I remember very early on being upset by that. I remember distinctly being upset by that. Like, what does she mean? I can't find a cute guy. What is she implying? I did not, when I initially started this program, I really did not understand what you meant by that. Now I 120% understand what you mean by that. And when I'm with my friends trying to be the wing woman and I see them not understand that, I'm like, this is not something I can teach. This is just something you have to learn as you kind of go through the journey and they're on their journey, right? I'll speak my piece and then I just kind of leave it alone. But it is definitely something that you kind of learn over the journey. But it is very good and sound advice and true advice for sure. I am an African American woman and Ben is Jewish. I do not know anything about Judaism. I don't know anything about, he grew up in San Francisco. I grew up in the suburbs in Virginia. So on paper, you would think we'd be kind of like oil and water. We'd not have much in common. But what I like about Ben is that he just has this curiosity about life. It's like everything he looks at life with like almost like fresh eyes. I feel like I'm an old soul and I have this very like I'm tired about life approach to me now, like done everything, been there, done that. And so one reason I love being with Ben is because every time I'm looking through the world through his lens, I see it fresh, renewed, restored all over again. And so when I first started this journey, if you told me I was going to find someone that allowed me to do that, I would have thought you were crazy. But that is what I love about Ben. I love about waking up every day and seeing the world new through his lens and not through my old drabby lens of life.
Oh my gosh. And now, so you go on some dates after Croatia with Ben. And what were the signs to you that this was something interesting?
Well, I would say, him just being super helpful would d definitely number one was interesting. So for example, on our first date, I lived a little bit further away from him. He was willing to meet me where I lived. He's like, "Oh, I've actually never been to that part of the Bay, and I grew up in the Bay." And he did all this research and he picked out a couple of different restaurants and then let me pick which one we went to. He was just super, he just took so much work off my shoulders. So sometimes I'd go,
Thoughtful.
yeah, and very thoughtful. Sometimes I'd go on dates and it'd be back and forth. Well, where do you want to go? Or what do you want to do? And it'd be back and forth. Whereas he was very decisive, but yet at the same time, considerate, and said, okay, well, I haven't been to this area. So if you don't mind, I'd like to come to you so I can explore this area. And here's the type of cuisines I think you might be interested in based on the fact that you're going to Croatia. And he just put in all these little nice touches that took a lot of stress off of my plate. So that's one reason I really, really love Ben. And there's just so many. There really are so many. But yes, if I had just gone off of his profile and the pictures on the profile, we would not be together today.
Say
So
that again for the people in the back.
if I had just gone off the profile and his pictures on the profiles, we would not be here today. And you told me this story, Bella. I don't know if you remember or not, but you had a client and you said she was very tall and she was very consistent about like wanting and needing a tall man, and she would not date men that were shorter than her. And then she goes on this date with this guy and there's no red flags, and you guys keep saying, "Keep going, keep going." And she's like, "I don't like this man." You're like, "Keep going, keep going." After 10 dates, she's like, something clicked. And next thing you know, this woman is now married to this man and he's shorter than her. But it took her 10 dates for it to click. But it eventually got there. And he had no green, I mean, he had no red flags, right?
None and adores her. And this is the thing. There's so many stories like this. We are so quick, especially on the apps, to discount people. Doesn't look like me. Don't like this. It's too far. He's too this. He's too that. Right. But when you were curious and said, okay, I'm curious if this man has been to Croatia. Doesn't necessarily look like the people I've dated. Doesn't necessarily look like me, but wow. And you looked at, and remember, we have a whole methodology at Smart Dating, right? We're going to look for an elevator person with characteristics that make you happy. We're going to get rid of people that are red flag first. We're going to look for consistency in responses. So when you message Ben, right now, Lindsay and I are crawling in the inbox and we're also looking at all of the things. We're not coaching you from 35,000 feet. It's, oh, I like that message. He seems really good. What happened on the second date? What happened on the fourth date? Oh, okay, you're going to meet his mom or his sister or whatever it is. So we're along for every single event that happens in these burgeoning relationships. And there are multiple for people going on at the same time.
Yes, there were. I think when I met Ben, I think I was dating like four other guys. And so for me, even though I know the anxious and the, avoidant can change, for me being initially, quote unquote anxious, it was really helpful to date multiple guys because I wasn't just fixated on one thing or one person. So when I first met Ben, I think one reason that I was actually able to feel more at ease at him is because I was dating other guys. And then when I would go on dates with other guys eventually, I would just be thinking, okay, I really enjoy being with this guy a little bit more. So it was more of a combination of like, A, not feeling as anxious because, my basket was full, right? And not just with one egg in there. And then B, also just having other people to compare him to, not even intentionally, you just do it subconsciously, right? And just re-emphasizing how I felt when I was with him, even when I wasn't with him. So these are all things that kind of helped me out. And it wasn't like it happened overnight. It was slow. It was gradual. I think if I recall, you guys, especially early on, suggest that you pace it out and you only do one date a week. So, it probably took a solid month to 6 weeks before I started to see him in a different light. But at first, it was sort of like, oh, I really like being around this guy. He's really cool and he's helpful and he makes things easy for me. So why not go out with him? And that's sort of what the first, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks dating him was like for me.
And then, how did you decide to get exclusive?
That's a good question. That is a really good question. I think for us, it was a little bit earlier than what's expected. For me, I remember the date. It was the fourth date. We were supposed to go to a concert that was literally like 45 minutes in the opposite direction of my house, from where he lived. And then he drove all the way to my house to pick me up and then all the way, to the concert venue. And while we were at the concert venue, this man dropped his wallet. And I watched Ben because, again, he's extremely helpful, right? And that is an attractive quality for me. And I watched Ben literally run up all these stairs to give this wallet back to this man. And so again, that's an attractive quality for me. So I'm like already now like, oh, okay, this guy is, he's got some
Like,
potential.
that's it. I think he's cute.
Yes. And then during the concert, it was a lot chillier than we thought. It was an outdoor concert. And he just turns to me halfway through and goes, it's a little bit cold. Do you want my jacket? And he gives me his jacket. And then after this concert, he drives me all the way back home. And, no stress, no worry. He just wanted me to have this perfect sort of relaxing evening. And he did that for me. And so then after that, it was easy for me to decide that I wanted to be exclusive with him because, even though I was talking to a lot of really good guys that had been approved by you and Lindsay as well as being really good guys. Like, I hadn't really seen anybody go that above and beyond for me. And I don't know, it just that night, I don't know if it was the concert underneath the stars or what, it just everything sort of aligned for me in that moment that day. And that's when we decided to go exclusive.
Oh, I love that. And, sometimes it's those little moments. It's that wallet running up the stairs, giving you the code. It's just kind of like, okay, I really like you. And this is what we mean by that slower burn, right?
Yeah.
It's not just the chemistry in the beginning, but for women, that chemistry can be sparked by something emotional that strikes us like, oh my gosh, that is so kind and so nice. And suddenly you're like, I actually think he's really cute. Look at him take those stairs, get that wallet back, right? And it's things like that. And this is exactly what we try to tell people, right? Which, as you say, can sound upsetting in the beginning. What do you mean? Are you telling me to settle by saying he's cute to you? Isn't he going to be cute to everyone else? You're like, it only matters that he's cute to you. He can be a jackass and hot as hell, and everybody thinks he's hot, and he breaks everybody's heart, including yours. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for someone where you're like, Oh my gosh. This is the bee's knees. It
Yeah, and
has me
something
out.
that's easy, you know. Nobody wants to be working all the time at a relationship. So I love the fact that he's just so easy for me.
Yeah. And Elaine, did you have anything to navigate with the different cultural or religious backgrounds, or has it also been pretty easy?
That's been pretty easy because his family is not particularly very religious. He does have religious relatives, and he's got a friend right now that's going to school to be a rabbi. So occasionally we run into some stuff, but him and his family have been very open to educating me. And it's important to us too that, we honor both parts of ourselves, right? In terms of being, marriage is becoming one, right? And so the marriage that we or the wedding that we envision is going to have elements from both the African American culture as well as the Jewish culture. And it's been super easy, and it's just been about, educating and appreciating those differences.
Oh, I love that. And they're the cutest couple, and there will be pictures that you guys can check out if you come to the Smart Dating site and look at Elaine and Ben. And I'm just so happy that you found love, Elaine, and it just makes me really happy. And I got to save the date for your wedding, and I'm so excited, and I'm crossing my fingers. It's not one of my two kids' graduation weekends.
Oh,
I got two graduates. I know. Pardon?
Congrats to you.
Well, and congrats to you. A wedding is a very, very big deal. And well, we're all so happy for your love. And Lindsay was so amazing and, is here with us in this podcast on Spirit and
Yes, Lindsay.
just.
Amazing. I love Lindsay. She was like, the girlfriend that you never knew you needed. She would just like tell it to you straight, but she's also super compassionate, when because it's not easy, and then although, part of it is about failing fast, right? And then having sort of like, always keeping that basket full, right, with options. It still kind of hurts when things kind of end, even if it's just a short term. I saw this guy a couple of times. So when that happened, Lindsay was really nurturing. And I appreciate that.
She is the best. Well, if there's any advice you would give to somebody out there who's struggling with dating or love, what would you tell them to do?
I'd tell him to call you.
Okay, call me. Y'all have me on speed dial. Just go to the Smart Dating Academy site and say, I want to be Elaine.
I would just say, don't give up, even when working with you guys, just because, this is something that's really close and dear to a lot of people, right? People want to find their soulmate. People want to be with the person that they, think that they need to be with, right? So I would just say, don't give up, like learn from, see all this as a learning opportunity that you can always enhance and improve on and reach out for help. I think although, we're joking about, oh, call Bella, but in all honestness, it what I'm really trying to say is don't be afraid to reach out for help. I think
Yes.
there's a stigma in our culture about reaching out for help with things like this. And to your point, there shouldn't be, because these are not things that we learn about. These are not things we talk about, right? And so, if you're really struggling with it, I think it's okay to reach out and ask for help and to, work with experts, because, it really doesn't getting what you want at the end of the day really does enhance, your life. So why would you not want to ask for help if it enhances your life?
Because you're worth it,
Yeah, you're worth
right? You're
100%.
worth it. It's an investment to work with us, but is it an investment you would make again?
Oh yeah, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. in a heartbeat.
Right. It sounds like a lot when you start, but when you think about the value going forward, and it's the value also generationally, right? I tell people, like, if one decides they want to have kids and have a family, the person you partner with is everything, right?
Yeah.
And so you're changing, one is changing the trajectory of future generations because now you know how to do something.
Right. No, totally. And you know how to also, teach your kids to learn by example, right?
Totally.
The other thing too, which we didn't talk about, but I also just kind of want to mention too, is because I did not know this how well, when I first came to you, I didn't know how this worked until it actually happened. Once I did kind of find Ben and we decided to go exclusive, you guys switched from dating coaching into relationship coaching because and the challenges I would be facing or the type of advice I would need is much different than when it was when I first started, which was dating, right? And so I found that super critical because there were things now that, when I was dating, maybe I never really thought about, but now I need to process like, oh gosh, he wants me to meet his parents. How does that work? What environment should I do that in? How am I interpreting those interactions, right? And so having you and Lindsay there, helping and guiding me and coaching me even after Ben and I agreed to be exclusive was super helpful. And I think that was needed for me as well.
That's great. And I'm so glad you brought that up, right? Because it's like people ask us that sometimes, like, well, what happens if I'm working with you for a year and I meet someone? I'm like, then we transition you into coaching you around that exclusive relationship, right? All the way to the altar, right? People call us still, even sometimes. You know, I did a session with a client last week who just got married 3 weeks ago, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because people want that. It's like once you have that cocoon around you where you feel safe, it's like we're your safe people no matter what. Lindsay's been married for 20 years this year. I'm 28 years. Eileen's been married over 30 years. We've been through the ups and the downs and every conversation that needs to be had, right? Even when you have a great partner, marriages work.
Right. And then just, meeting each other's communication styles and evolving with each other, right? Like that's essentially in my mind what marriage is really about. Can I evolve with this individual? Because you're not going to be the same person you were 28 years ago, right?
No, exactly. Exactly. You might be able to wear the same wedding dress, but you're a different person.
Yeah. So I was really thankful for that because then it was like, okay, well, I got him. Now what? Right. And so having that guidance around that was really helpful.
Oh, well, I am super excited for you and for your love and for all of the beauty that both of your families will experience in your union.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to witness it.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, smart daters, if you did not find this story inspiring, you got to go have your ears cleaned or something because I'm so inspired. If you're watching the video, you can probably see me with a perma smile on my face. And I'm just so grateful, Elaine, that you shared your journey with us. And I learned some new things about you during this podcast. And I'll tell you what, sometimes people prep. Elaine and I just said, let's just go and let's just riff. And there was not one note for this conversation. So, this is the
We
real
had one
deal.
note. The one note was about Lindsay being here in spirit.
Lindsay was here in spirit,
Yeah,
absolutely.
that was
And that's it.
the
That was
only
the only note of prep. So, all right. Well, thank you again. And smart daters, reach out, get that help. Nobody's taught how to date. There's no shame in this game. If your picker needs fixing, if you need some love and support across all of the phases of dating, which is preparing to date, then you get out there and you're dating, right? Then you get to an exclusive relationship. And then you get to the happily ever after. So we went with Elaine from preparing to date to dating to exclusivity. And now, amen, happily ever after. So reach out, smartdatingacademy.com. Elaine, thank you again for being an amazing conversationalist. And smart daters, I wish you a week full of love. And I wish you the kind of love that Elaine has found with Ben. Until next week, I bid you farewell. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.